Hey, you guys can be seated, man. Thank you so much for being a part of our time today as we worship and connect to the Lord. We're in the fourth part of a teaching series called Better Together. And so in a lot of ways, this last message in this series is kind of like a 400-level class, right? How many of y'all remember back to college whenever you had like advanced-level classes? You couldn't get into them unless you had the prerequisites. Any of y'all remember that? Right? Some of y'all may be too old to remember that, but you'd actually have like a 101, a 201, a 301, and then a 400-level class. Well, if you rewind, we started this Better Together teaching with a 100-level class. Man, you're made for relationship. You are made for relationship. God designed you this way. And the 200-level class just said, if you want to win it, relationship, you got to make the right affirmation. We're family, and I ain't going nowhere. And I got the right attitude. I'm going to honor you more than I honor me. And I've got the right action, too. I'm going to act in love from a heart that's actually real and true. Y'all remember that? No mask, no pretending. I want to be naked and unashamed with each other, right? That we're not shameful, that we're true to each other. The 300-level class last week, we learned about how to love people who are different from us. And so God wants to teach us how to be unified even though we're not the same. And so today we come to the 400-level class. Here's, I think, the hardest one. How to have a hard conversation. How to have a hard conversation with people that you love. Now, I got to be honest. Hey, look, my name's Chip. And I hate hard conversations, okay? I'm trying to recover from this. And you know why I hate hard conversations? Because they're hard. They're not easy. They're taxing. They're emotionally and mentally draining for me. And I know I'm not alone. I told my small group what I was going to be teaching on today, this past week, and a lady in our group said, y'all, I'm about to faint. Her heart was elevated. Her heart rate was elevated. She started to see like spots in her eyes. She really thought she was going to pass out just thinking about hearing a sermon about having a hard conversation. Now, I know a lot of us, it's foreign. You weren't raised this way, were you? You didn't have hard conversations. In your family, you just acted like nothing really happened. You never talked about it. You just passively swept stuff under the rug and went along to go along to get along, right? And so everything was okay. You just lived that way. But come on, hear me. You thought you were keeping the peace, but you weren't. You thought you were, but you weren't. On the inside, everybody still turned up and got turmoil. Now, others of you had hard conversations all the time at your house. Look, we had hard conversations 4 or 5 a day. And usually those hard conversations were laced with F-bombs and put-downs and a lot of yelling and occasionally throwing stuff across the room. I mean, that's just the way it was at your house. And so you had them, they just weren't very helpful, right? And those hard conversations, they're real and they can come in various forms. Maybe it's you having to own up to a mistake you made and you hate it, but you have to apologize and you know it. And it's just hard, right? We're a little bit like Fonzie from the old Happy Days show. He just could never say I was wrong. And so it's hard for you to say that because of your own pride. Or maybe it's not your wrongdoing that you're needing to have a conversation about. Maybe it's confronting somebody that you really love at work or school or at home that they're doing wrong or they wounded you and you need to get that out on the table and talk about it. Or maybe it's passed just 1 or 2 times. Maybe it's a pattern and now you, your family, or friends are having to have an intervention with somebody who's caught up in a deadly addiction. More than once I've talked to people who have had to have hard conversation with their parents as their parents lay, maybe even on their deathbed, but felt compelled to say, Daddy, Mama, I need to talk to you about something that happened when I was a kid, and we've never talked about it, but I've got to talk to you about it. And those are painful conversations. They make us break out into cold sweats, but they're necessary sometimes. I think a lot of times we don't want to have these conversations because we think about all the bad that could possibly happen. Oh my gosh, if I have this hard conversation, we might get in a fight. They might poke my eyes out. If we get in this hard conversation, they might reject me. They might hate me. They might leave me. I'd be all alone. I might cry uncontrollably. I might faint. I might get fired. All true. No guarantees. But have you ever thought about what would happen, the bad that could happen, if you don't have the hard conversation? I'm thinking about a guy in the Bible named Eli. He was a preacher. He was a priest. He had 2 sons who were wicked. The Bible says that they did not know God, yet Eli kept him on his staff at the church, at the tent of meeting. And they used their position selfishly, and they robbed God's sacrifices. People would bring them, and they would rob the people, steal the best meats to pad their own pocket and to live lavishly. And then they would lay with the women who worked at the church. These guys are the worst of the stereotypical preacher's kids. Eli, the priest, knows about it. He knows his boys are acting stupid, and he asks them about it, but he doesn't do anything about it. He just lets them keep on. So one day, God has a conversation with Samuel, a little kid who's becoming a grown man prophet. And he says this to Samuel about Eli and his family, 1 Samuel 3, "For I've told him, Eli, that I'm about to judge his house forever." Why? "For the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them." Because this grown man preacher didn't have the guts to confront his kids with a hard conversation and do something about it, his house was cursed forever. Can I just say to you, if you don't have the hard conversation, things don't typically get better. As a matter of fact, they don't even stay the same. They get worse. Have you ever opened your mind to the possible good that could happen, though, if you had a hard conversation? A lot of times we're thinking about all the bad stuff that could happen, but what about the good that might happen? I had a lady tell me that when she went off to college as a freshman, she was making all the wrong choices. She was dating the wrong guy. They were doing the wrong thing. She was drinking like a fish. She was just a mess. But she had a friend who loved her and loved Jesus, who one day just said to her, "Hey, what are you doing?" She said she didn't yell at me. She didn't get mad at me. She didn't tell me I was stupid for making all these bad decisions. She just helped remind me of who I was and specifically whose I was. And she said God used that conversation to wake me up and to get hold of my life and my heart. And she said, since that day, I have imperfectly yet consistently pursued following Jesus ever since. And I'm so thankful for a friend who loved me enough to have a hard conversation. See, if you take the risk of saying to a friend, "Hey, can we talk? Don't think about the bad. Think about what could happen. They just might get helped. Your relationship just might get better. It might make it stronger. The devil just might get shut down. And God just might give favor and be glorified because you had the courage to say, you can't do that. And me not say something. Us do something." So I want to reframe it. I want to say, I don't want to talk to you today about how to have a hard conversation. I want to talk with you about how to have a helpful conversation, how to have a healing conversation, how to have a clarifying conversation according to God's word. We need it because in the absence of it, we just keep getting worse and worse. In the absence of it, we'll put a story in our mind about what's going on. We hadn't talked to each other about it, but I'm just assuming that you know and you've got all these bad motives. Have y'all ever worked up a good mad? Anybody ever worked up a good mad? You know what I'm talking about? You didn't talk to anybody. They don't even know you're mad at them, but you have worked up a good mad imagining everything because you don't have a real conversation. So we're going to stop that. We're going to learn how to say, hey, look, before I get this story going in my head, can we just talk about it a little bit? Listen, you need to talk about it because many times we come at circumstances or situations from different perspectives and we have different expectations. And next thing you know, we're broke off, not because somebody was wrong, but because we had different expectations. Y'all ever had that? I had it this week. We had company coming over Monday night. My job was to have the steaks cooked. Okay? Company's coming at 6:30, fellas. What time y'all going to have them steaks ready? 6:30. Thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Right? Now, my wife didn't tell me that. She didn't say have the steaks ready at 6:30. She just said company's coming at 6:30. So in my mind, my expectation is have the food ready at 6:30. So y'all know what I'm doing. I'm backwards mapping now. I'm backwards timekeeping. They got to have 5 minutes to kind of, you know, underneath the foil, be kind of, you know, chilling a little bit. That means I got to back that up. I got to back it on up to, you know, 12, 15 minutes it's going to take to cook them. That means I got to back it on up. You know, I got to get the grill prepped. That means I got to start around 6 o'clock. So I'm starting around 6 o'clock. Well, at 6:10, Christy comes in and says, "Hey, I'm about to put the potatoes in. I'm going to need about 45 minutes. Yeah, all them brothers up in here go like, "What?" Right? Y'all know what I felt on the inside. I didn't say anything, but my nonverbal must have been real loud because she goes, "What? No, that bothered you." I'm like, "You dang Skippy, it did. You said 6:30, right? That's what I'm thinking. No, we never said it, but that's what my expectation was. I had to have it ready at 6:30. She said, "Hey, let's talk about it." And I'm like, "No, the kids are here. We got a friend here. Houston's here. I don't ever want to talk about anything. I sure don't want to talk about it with kids here, right?" But she said, "No, I can tell that bothered you. What's the deal?" And you know what? We had a clarifying conversation where I said, look, you said 6:30, girl. Them steaks hitting the table at 6:30 because my expectation is the sooner they eat, the sooner they can leave. You know what I'm saying? Hey, no, these are great friends, and that wasn't the case in that situation, right? But y'all know what I'm saying. My expectation was 6:30, but she explained, no, they're going to get here at 6:30, and then we're going to kind of hang out, and then we're going to have dinner around 7. So just that hard conversation helped me now to know whenever she says, hey, we got company coming, I know to say, now, they coming at 6:30, or are we eating at 6:30, right? Y'all with me? Just a helpful conversation. Now, look, we got to learn to have them. God had hard conversations. Adam, where you at? God didn't need that information. Adam needed to have that hard conversation. Elijah, what are you doing here? Jesus sometimes did steal the storm. Sometimes he rocked the boat. Hey, what are you boys talking about back there? Because he knew that you don't grow when you're comfortable and just kind of, you know, keeping the peace. He knows that you grow when you're outside your comfort zone and having hard conversations. The early church in Acts 15 had to have some hard clarifying conversations about the mission of the church and the message of the church. And it wasn't easy. And people from different cultures had to air their views, but then they came together with a clarifying conversation. And then every individual believer needs to learn to have clarifying conversations. Our text for today is Romans chapter 15, where Paul is going to call on the Roman church to start learning how to have these hard conversations with each other. Romans chapter 15, verse 14 says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able." Full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another, right? We're studying the one another's, to admonish one another. That word admonish means to instruct, to warn, to even correct other people, to provide some instruction and correction around behavior or even belief. I think in Romans 15, Paul is now saying to the Roman church that we learned last week in chapter 14 are so different. He's saying to them, now listen, I'm not there to help y'all do this. You're gonna have to learn how to help each other. You can do it. You can do it. But you gotta learn how to admonish, encourage, instruct, and sometimes maybe even correct each other. God's word says that you should be able to and need to be able to have a hard, or as we're learning, a helpful, healing conversation God's way. And so that's what we want to learn today, that these helpful conversations are not your permission to get ill. All right, this is not a green light for you to just vent whatever the heck's on your mind. It's been bothering me anyway, and so I'm giving you a piece of my mind. That is not it. What we're going to learn to do today by the power of the Holy Spirit, following the example of Jesus to the glory of God, we're going to learn today how to invite God into our relationship and to help us to have conversations that protect unity and love and healing and open the door for God's favor to rest on your house. You with me? This is about the Lord doing his work in you, through you, and on your house. So open your spirit to that. Families need to hear this, 100%. Families need to hear it, okay? We need to learn how to have these healing conversations. God's word puts a lot of emphasis on men particularly. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That word instruction in English is actually the Greek word admonish. Some translations say in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who should lead the way in having these difficult conversations? Fellas, it's on us. So we gotta learn how to say to our sons and our daughters and our spouses, the people that are at our workplace, hey, man, can we have a conversation? Can we talk about something? I just want us to talk about something. I feel like I need to hear from you for a minute. You need friends who love you enough to help you out. Everybody here's got blind spots, true or not? Come on, everybody here's got blind spots, true or not? All right, if you don't acknowledge that you've got weaknesses and blind spots, you're an idiot. In Jesus' name, you're an idiot. That's what I'm saying. In all love, I'm telling you. Man, come on, who doesn't? That's why we got to have Christ. We're jacked up, man. And you need somebody who can lovingly, keyword lovingly, help you and say, girl, come on, what are you thinking? Girl, you know I love you too much to let you stay right there. Come on, dude. And we can do better. Come on, I'm with you. This is the way the Bible says it in Proverbs 27. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Look, if you got somebody who's always kissing up to you and never can tell you the straight truth, the hard truth, the truth you need to hear, they are not a friend, they're an enemy. But if you are so blessed to have a friend who would faithfully wound you, like a doctor who occasionally has to break a bone to reset it so that it grows right and is healthy, if you have a faithful friend like that, you're blessed. And I want us to learn to be friends like that, okay? Now, I get it. You're probably like, oh, my gosh, why did I come to church today? I'm not very good at this, but let me tell you something. I'm going to speak something over you. By God's grace, you're about to be. You with me? By God's grace, he's about to do a new thing in you. And so maybe your prayer needs to be what my prayer is today. Okay, Jesus, help me. Ooh, God, help me. That's a good prayer. If that's an honest prayer, he will. God, help me. All right, now let's look into this scripture and see how can we learn to be good at having these healing conversations. Here's the first thing, make sure your heart's right. If you're going to learn to have these conversations, you got to make sure your heart's right. Look back at verse 14 again. He says, I'm convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. That you're full, that you're past expectation. You're actually overflowing in goodness. Now, Paul had used that very same word full in Romans 1:29 to say to the Roman people, hey, before you had Jesus in your life, you were full of unrighteousness and all kind of crap. You had so much ungodliness in you, you were full of it to the overflowing. But now that you have Jesus, you are full of goodness. Paul is partly describing them. When you have Christ, please hear me, when you have Jesus in your life, despite how weak you feel and how jacked up you've been, when you've got Jesus in your life, you got all the goodness you need. He's more than enough. But I also think he's speaking prescriptively to you and to me to make sure then that that goodness that Christ is placing and bringing in our life, it actually makes its way out. So make sure that my heart is attuned to the goodness of Jesus. I think that means my heart's got to be clear. I'm not tolerating stuff in my life that I'm about to go correct somebody else about. Jesus said something about that, Matthew chapter 7. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your own eye, and behold, you got this big old log, this plank in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly, that's our word, clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, a lot of times we read that verse and we refuse to confront anybody because I've got my own logs, and that ain't it. He's saying, deal with your junk then. Deal with your junk. Get the log out of your eye. Don't tolerate anything knowingly in your life. The mark's not perfection. The mark is you're just not holding on to anything you know's not right. Right? You're working on your own junk. And now the call of God is for me to help you and you to help me. Y'all with me? But my heart's got to be clear. All right? It also needs to be surrendered. And by that, I think it means you have to say, God, this isn't about me. I need you to fill me up and help me out. Okay, I get this out of Galatians 5:22, where we know this. We know this first part anyway. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And usually we stop right there because that's all we need. God, if you'll just give me love, joy, and peace, I'm golden, I'm ready to go. But keep reading. What else does God bring into your life by his presence whenever you have Jesus, the Spirit inside of you? He also brings patience and kindness. And look at that, goodness. Same word in Romans 15:14. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we're going to have the right heart and having these conversations, Holy Spirit, fill me up. You with me? Because he brings the goodness. It means that our hearts also have to be pure, not just clear, but pure, meaning your motive in having this conversation is not about you just saying whatever you want to say and getting stuff off of your chest. It's about, I really want us to be healthy. And I really want you to be healthy and right. That's what he's calling on you to have, is a heart that is now pure. One writer says, if you have an agenda, just keep your hurtful words to yourself. If you're simply venting your frustration or saying something that'll make you feel better about yourself, don't even bother. All that's going to do is backfire. You have to genuinely have the other person's best interest at heart. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Corinthians 4. If you know anything about the Corinthian letter, it is a massive, massive check you. Paul is checking these people. Man, they are a mess. And yet he says, I don't write these things to shame you, but to admonish you, to help you. Just as my beloved children. Come on, parents. We're not perfect, but we sure do love our kids, and we do want what's best for them. We don't want to shame them. That's not the goal. We want what's best for them. And Paul is saying, make sure your motive is pure, that what you really want to do is to help. And then you have to have, I think, an available heart. I think that's what it means to be right-hearted, because part of goodness means I'm generous. And so it means not only am I going to say, hey, man, we need to talk, but you're also going to say, and if you need a ride to rehab, I'll take you. And if you need to be away from work for a little bit, I'll cover you. Y'all with me? That if you need a place to stay temporarily, man, you can stay on my couch. I'm not just going to call you out, man, I'm going to help you up. Y'all with me? That's what it means to have a good heart, a right heart. Now, I also need to say that if your heart's not right, don't enter into the conversation. We were talking about, again, in my small group, and a lady says, I'm about to pass out. Then another lady says, you know what? My son was trying to have this hard conversation. He was kind of coming at me this week, and I just had to say to him, son, I'm not ready to have this conversation. And I said to you, well, you go, girl, that's good, because you probably saved both of y'all a lot of heartache. Her son didn't know what to do with it, but she just said, I can't have this conversation right now. You may need to learn to say, I can't have this conversation right now. We'll have this conversation, not right now. My heart's not right. Y'all with me? Number one, make sure your heart is right. Here's the second thing is, have the right information. Have the right information. Go back to verse 14 again. Man, I'm convinced y'all can do this. You're full of grace and you're filled with all knowledge. You're filled with all knowledge. That you have information, but watch this. Not only do you have information, but you know how to use that information, and you've got all the knowledge that you need. And I think that knowledge comes at least in three ways. One is you got to have biblical knowledge of God and his word, okay? So you know, Paul's writing to them, you know God, and you get to know God through his word. God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's how to know what to do. But God's word is also a mirror and a megaphone where God shows you and shouts to you whose you are, who you are in him, and what you have, okay? So God's word is important to you. You got to read it so the Spirit will have some ammunition, some power to use in your life. But listen, more than just knowing the word of God, you need to know the way of God in that. See, you read God's word to get to know the God of the word. And so I ask you, what's God like? What do you think God's like? What's his character like? Well, look, it wouldn't take us long to say God's loving, isn't he? And he's kind and he's gentle and he's patient. And it's the patience of God that leads you to repentance. And so I just want to say to somebody up in here who your theology is so TikTok tight, it ain't even funny. Man, you know the Bible like the back of your hand, but if you are not a more loving, gentle, kind person, you missed it. You missed it, bro. So we got to have knowledge of God's word and God's way. Then we need knowledge of the circumstances and the situation that I'm about to enter into. Have any of y'all ever entered into a hard conversation and about halfway in you realize, oh, snap, I didn't know all the facts. Ooh, that's a bad place to be. I think I may be the only one here who's ever done that, right? But if that's ever happened to you and you have that oh snap moment, what did you do next? I know what most of y'all did. Y'all doubled down, just fought harder, right? Just yelled a little louder because then, now you're on the defensive, right? The best thing to do is to go, you know what? I am so sorry. That's totally on me. I didn't have my stuff together. Better than that is to do what Solomon says in Proverbs. When you hear one side of the story, you think, oh, yeah, that's the answer. But then you hear the other side of the story, and you go, oh, I'm not so sure, because the truth typically is in the middle, isn't it? So before we go off, let's get all the information that we need. One good way of getting good information is ask more questions than you make statements. This is one of the things I'm learning. This is what Jesus would do. Jesus would ask people stuff. Even when they asked him stuff or came at him, he would ask them questions. Because when you ask people questions and they give an answer, they might just have a self-revelation of what the problem is. You don't even have to tell them. But if they don't, you might just get more information that you really needed to know how to proceed. So before you go at somebody, let's ask some questions and make sure we know all the truth and all the facts. I think that's what Paul's getting at in Romans 15. He said, hey, you Jewish guys, y'all get to know your Gentile brothers over here and don't just come at them. Get to know them. Know why they think like they do and the way they were raised. You Gentile brothers, man, y'all need to be gentle over here with your Jewish brothers and sisters. Get to know them. Know how they were raised so that you can have a good conversation and not miss each other. Y'all with me? Good information. So we got to have knowledge of God. We got to have knowledge of the situation. And then we just got to get better at doing it. So you got to kind of got to grow at getting better at having these conversations. Educate yourself. Maybe you ask a friend, hey, how should I do this? Maybe you ask a counselor. I go to a counselor. I ask my counselor sometimes, hey, how should I do this? What do you think? Knowing me, what do you think I should do? Maybe you could listen to a podcast, read a book, go to a webinar, or dang, YouTube it. Who knows? There's probably a good YouTube out there somewhere of somebody telling you, here's how you could go about having a good healing conversation. I know you can pray. And you should pray for divine wisdom and leadership on what to say or do. And you should pray for that person before you have the hard conversation. God, I pray for them. I pray that you would just bless them and God, help them work upstream for me. And then when you have the hard conversation, you give them good information. You give good affirmation to them. You tell them, look, I believe in you. You're so amazing. Man, there's so much good that I see. I'm for us. I'm with us. This is going to hurt a little bit, but I'm for us. Okay? You have that kind of affirmation. You can teach yourself how to have these conversations. Here's what you want to ask God to do. God, give me the right thing to do, the right tone in which to do it, and the right time. God, give me the right thing to do, the right tone, and the right time. Okay? So I'm gonna help myself not only to have the right heart, but I'm gonna learn to say, God, give me the right information. Here's the third thing: be confident. Develop a God confidence. Develop a God confidence. Romans 15:14, he says, I know that you are able to do this. That word able is our word dynamite. You have the ability. There's the power within you, the capacity within you to see this done. Now listen, this is not a self-confidence. You can do it on your own. I believe he's talking about a God confidence. That word dunamis a lot of times describes the Holy Spirit. The verse right before Romans 15:14 is Romans 15:13. This is what it says. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you could abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? You tracking with me? So your ability is not you're so smart, you're so educated, you know the Bible like the back of your hand, you got a psychology degree. That ain't it. I appreciate it. You need all that, but that is not the whole equation. You got to have a God confidence that says, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, this thing's going to go south. And so the same God who fills me with hope and joy and peace and faith, God, I need you to be my ability. God, I need you to set a guard over my mouth. God, I need you to work upstream for me. Y'all with me? The more that you are saying to God, you're my confidence and I want to do your will, your way, with your heart, here's what I'm speaking over you. God says, I got you. I got you. Trust me. Trust me. How do you learn to let the Spirit help you whenever? Man, this is hard, isn't it? I mean, I'm just telling you, in real time, like, I mean, it's one thing to go do it in practice, fellas, but when the game's on, when we're actually playing, when you're actually, I mean, stuff's coming at you, it's hard sometimes to remember. How do you really do this when a couple's fighting? How do you really do this whenever you and your son or daughter are just at each other? How do you do this whenever your coworker is doing it again? All right? Here's what I think it looks like. I'm learning. Here's what I think this looks like. It means I allow the Spirit to prepare me. Okay, I know it's coming. If I know a hard conversation's coming, I have to ask the Lord, Lord, do I even need to have this conversation? This is a real battle for me because I don't want to just be, you know, out here, you know, dragging something up with my wife. Next thing you know, we're going to be in a fight and it ain't going to be good at my house for about 3 or 4 days. Come on, fellas, y'all know what I'm talking about? Why do I want to go there if this is just about me? So, Lord, if I don't need to have this, would you show me? If I do, show me, but if I don't, show me. But I need you to prepare me. Help me have the right heart, right thing, right tone, right time. Okay? I want to be aware of your presence, Holy Spirit. Because if I make this about me and her or me and you, I assure you, my flesh probably going to enter in. But the more I can remind myself that, you know what? Man, we together. The enemy's out there. the more I can remind myself that the Spirit of the Lord is in us and with us, and we're together, and I'm aware of that. Whenever I feel my flesh rise up, I can just say, all right, Lord, I need you right now. I really need you, okay? And I am alert to his promptings, okay? So I'm allowing him to prepare me. I'm aware of his presence. I'm alert to his promptings, which means in the conversation, your prayer in the back of your mind is, God, what should I do? What should I do? And I'm listening to you, but I'm listening. God, if you're telling me to shut up, I'm going to shut up. God, if you tell me to say something or do whatever with the right tone, God, I want to do that. I'm following his lead. Y'all with me? You can do this. Follow his lead and asking for his power. God, set a guard over my mouth. You're going to have to help me right now because I'm about to bust. God, give me ears to hear. God, would you work in his heart right now and let him receive whatever this is? Y'all with me? Asking the Lord to lead it, a God confidence. But before you have these hard conversations, what I'm finding is it's actually helpful just to have honest conversations. Yeah, we want to have helpful conversations, but a lot of times if we don't talk about anything and all of a sudden we're in a helpful conversation, it's really, really difficult. So I'm learning to just, hey, man, can we just learn to talk? We got a family in our church. The kind of the matriarch of the family is learning all this stuff that we're learning right now. And some months ago, she said to her family who comes to eat with her on Sundays after church, sat them all down around the kitchen, around the table and said, okay, we're about to go around the circle, the table, and everybody's going to tell us one thing that we don't know about you or wouldn't have known unless you told us. Just one thing about your life, your week, or something that's going on with you. And how do y'all think that went over? About like it would at your house. You're like, oh my gosh, I ain't doing that. Mama, this is stupid, whatever, right? That's the. But she pressed them, and they did it, and they did it the next week, and they did it the next week, and they did it the next week. One day, not long ago, walking out of church, one of her kids or grandkids looked at her and said, I know what I'm going to tell today at lunch. They learned to do it. Can I just say to you, would you today at lunch, right, if you sit down at a table or if y'all are riding in a van, however y'all eat at your house, somebody say, okay, let's all tell each other one thing we didn't know unless you would have told us. Right? Now, I know what you're thinking. Chip, come on, man. I ain't doing that. Okay. You're going to hell. That's fine. That's up to you. I want you. You're not going to hell. Right? But I am saying to you, hey, look, please, man, if somebody has the guts to say, y'all, I really want us to be better. If somebody's got the guts to go there, go there. Why? It'll be hard as you know what the first time you do it and the second time you do it. But the more you learn to just share what's going on in your life, it gets easier. You get stronger and better so that when you have to have a hard conversation, it's not so far. Y'all with me? God confidence. God confidence. Here's the last thing. Remember God's grace to you. Remember God's grace to you. Romans 15:15, Paul says, but I've written very boldly to you on some points. In other words, he's saying, man, I've been up in y'all's grill and I know it. I've written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. I'm stopping right there in the mid-sentence because this is what I want you to see. When Paul says, because of the grace that was given me from God, there is one sense in which he's kind of flexing his apostleship, just being real. Hey, y'all need to be listening to me. But there's also a sense in which Paul is reminding himself and them and us that whatever we are by the grace of God. Y'all with me? That if you're having a hard conversation with somebody, hey, you better check yourself, because if it wasn't for God's grace, you'd be a train wreck. And thank God we're not where we used to be. We're not where we should be, but we're not where we used to be by God's grace. Y'all with me? Paul, at one moment in his life, at moments in his life, Paul struggled with this too. I told you about the church in Acts 15, trying to figure out what the message was going to be for the mission of the church, and they had to work it out. But you get to the end of that chapter, and the Apostle Paul and a guy named Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, he likes to help people out whenever they're in broken places. First person he helped out was Paul, by the way. When Paul was a train wreck, Barnabas is the one who helped him out. So on the first missionary journey, They have Barnabas's cousin, young kid named Mark, with them. Mark, for whatever reason, gets homesick, scared, ran out of money, wanted to go play video games. I do not know. Mark left them. Left them hanging. And Paul wasn't having it. Barnabas, at the end of Acts 15, says to Paul, hey, man, let's go back to the churches, and I want to take Mark with us. And Paul says, that ain't happening. He left us. Man, he ain't never going with me again. And Acts 15 says this about Paul and Barnabas' relationship. There occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Paul goes on and does his thing. But here's what I want you to see. That sharp disagreement literally means Paul, like, took his jacket off and says, Barnabas, man, I'll throw down with you right now. He ain't going. Y'all with me? Y'all feel me? That's the sharp disagreement. It wasn't, well, I don't know. No, it's, man, he ain't going. And their friendship was broken, mature enough to say, we'll continue to pursue God, but we're just not going to be able to do it together. Now, Paul, if you read the rest of that chapter and going into chapter 16, Paul can't get a leading from God. He's bouncing around Asia Minor. He can't get an open door until he's in prayer. Acts chapter 16, he's in prayer. And I think in that prayer, before he gets the Macedonian vision, for those of you who know the Bible, I think in that prayer, God probably had a hard conversation with Paul. And he says to Paul, Paul, I need you to forgive that young kid. You were hard-headed. I think Paul was being hard-headed. I think he was being prideful. And I think it was on him. Paul, I need you to get that right. Bro, this can't stand. God had a hard conversation with Paul. And Paul, thank God, was open and let the grace of God lead him to a new place. So that when you come to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, it says this, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greeting, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you've received instruction. If he comes to you, you welcome him. Paul has a change of heart. You come to Timothy, and it says this, only Luke is with me, but pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Do you understand how Paul, even though he had blown it big time, man, he kept his heart open to God, and God, by his grace, helped him learn how to work together with a brother he had blown it with. And this is what I'm saying to you. If you've blown it, God may come to you and have a hard conversation with you. He has with me. God ever had a hard conversation with you? When God has had hard conversations with me, typically his voice is loving and kind and gentle and private. When the enemy comes at me, it's condescending and condemning and shameful. But when Jesus comes, when the Word of God, when God's presence comes to me to correct me with a hard conversation, it's always loving, kind, gentle, and typically private. And so before you have a hard conversation with anybody else, you say, Lord, just remind me of how good you've been to me. And but for your grace, I'd be a mess too. And so God, give me compassion and love and gentleness to have this conversation. Y'all with me? Steve Parton's a dear friend. He's one of our staff members. And as I kind of uploaded to our staff this week, this message, Steve, in listening to some of the conversation, just says, man, I need to tell y'all, when I was growing up, me and my dad were really not that close. He said we were so opposite. My dad loved outdoors, loved hunting and doing that kind of stuff. And Steve said, man, I just love my friends. I love riding the roads of Pearl. I love riding around the streets of Pearl and just hanging out with my friends. We just weren't that much alike. And so we never really had conversation about much of anything. But Steve accepted Christ while he was in college at Southern Miss. And when he was a junior in college, he decided to try out to be the Southern Miss mascot, to be the Golden Eagle. Qualifications for that is you got to put on the Golden Eagle suit and act a fool. Steve is eminently qualified for that job, okay? And so Steve is doing his thing, and his dad wouldn't come to the games. And so after some time, Steve felt led to just invite his dad to come watch him. And he called his dad and said, Dad, is there any chance, we got a home game this weekend, is there any chance you could come and watch me do my thing? He said, Dad, I'm pretty good at it. And his dad said, I just don't know. And he said he just felt the Lord prompt him to have a healing conversation. He said, Dad, you've never missed one of my brother's football games all through high school. I'm just asking you to come to one. He said his dad came. And then his dad never missed another game. He said to all of us, he said, that conversation didn't just change that my dad started coming to the games. It changed the dynamic of our relationship. He said my dad and I could have conversation from that point on about anything. And when Mr. Melvin passed just a few months back, Steve said, I could stand there by his bedside knowing that there was nothing left unsaid. We had talked about it all. Isn't that awesome? But even greater than that, it changed his family tree. Steve and Leanne, by God's grace, have raised three knuckleheaded boys to be good men. And at their house, if you know them, they talk about anything and everything, and it's embarrassing. Because Steve will say anything. He's just, okay? But his kids are just raised in an environment where, man, we don't push stuff under the rug and we don't yell and scream all the time. We have to have healing conversation. One of his sons one time was kind of sideways with a friend's dad, an adult. And the division was kind of growing, kind of festering, wasn't getting better. And one day, prompted by the very Spirit of the Lord, his teenage son went to this grown man and extended his hand and said, could we be at peace? And they had a moment of healing conversation. Sometime later, that dad saw Steve and said, hey man, I just got to tell you, you've raised one heck of a son. He's a good man. And he is, in part, because he had a mom and a daddy who taught him, guys, we got to learn to have these healing conversations when we need them. Because it's the healing conversations that make us better together. And so I want to invite you to invite God into your heart and into your relationship. That at the deepest level, the 401 level, you're learning to have healing, helpful, clarifying, God-honoring conversation. Doing and saying the right things at the right time with the right heart and the right tone. Come on, across the room right now, would you just pray with me? I just want to lead you to pray. Can we just thank God for grace? Can we just start there? God, just thank you for grace. Oh, God, thank you for your mercies new every morning. Thank you, God, for forgiving, for gracing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can we have just a moment of confession where you just own your junk before God? Listen, if you've always been passive and that's just the way you were raised and you never really deal with it and so you just stuff it or explode in anger, whatever that is, and you just cuss and fuss all the time, would you just say to God, I am, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Have mercy on me. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He wants to cover you right now. And if you've never received Jesus in your life, if you've never experienced his grace and mercy and forgiveness, would you do it right now? Just say, God, I want you to come into my life. Forgive me. Change me, Jesus. I don't want to live in my old dead ways. Dead to you spiritually. I want you to make me alive. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come into my life. So would you do that right now? Would you ask right now, listen, would you ask the Holy Spirit to bring healing into your heart? And would you ask the Holy Spirit right now to let you release anything that you've been holding on to that's bitter and angry and resentful and hurtful? Just give it to him. Let him cleanse it. Ask him just to take it away from you. And would you invite him in this moment to just fill you up with his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his gentleness, his faithfulness, and his self-control? Just ask him, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Everything, my mouth, my mind, all of it. Fill me up. Now pray this. God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help us. If you know the person that maybe you're going to have a healing conversation with already, would you just pray upstream? Just ask the Lord to take it. Ask the Lord to strengthen it. Ask the Lord to prepare it. Just pray for it right now by name. And ask God to give you faith. In just a second, I'm going to close this time of prayer. We're going to sing this last song called Waymaker. You know it well, but I want you to apply it to your hard conversation. That there's no heart so hardened, no relationship so dead and gone, no person so addicted that God can't bring them back. that God can't breathe new life, that God can't make a new day, that God can't make a new way, that love could grow, honesty could grow, healing could come, unity could be experienced. The devil shut out, God brought in, and favor flow to you. We're better together. When we sing this song, would you just declare, God, you're the way maker. You can do impossible things. So, Lord, we praise you. We bless you. We're going to respond to you. Lord, I pray that as we stand and sing in a moment, that as you have prompted us, we might come and take folks by the hand who will be standing in the front and just, Lord, be prayed over and let you pray just healing into us, Father, by your servants. And so, God, we just worship you now. We declare your goodness and we lay our lives before you and say, God, make us better together in your name and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.